councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
I believe a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken. No one will be able to be armed. We're going to take all the guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
Is global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bank is in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Answer to 1984 is 1776.
And welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Ja'Kari Jackson, along here with David Knight. This is a special live edition, April 22nd, 2013. Now, our top story is not ready just yet. Alex Jones and also David Knight had a chance to speak with the aunt of the Boston bombing suspects, and we'll have that video for you a little bit later on. But first of all, let's go to David Knight. How are you doing tonight, David?
Doing good, Ja'Kari.
Good.
You know, it's interesting, that story that's coming up, Dan Dix contacted her up in Toronto, and he did a great job of getting the information from her that we're going to present later tonight. But he had an interview set up with her, and when he got there, she changed her mind. So he was just kind of, earlier today, recounting what he had said to her. And we contacted him and said, you know, can we try to get a hold of her, maybe have him go by and do a live interview or have her do a Skype interview or something. And so we've got some phone calls and some other interviews that we did with her that are coming up, that Alex talked to her as well as I talked to her briefly. But there's a lot of stuff that's been happening in the aftermath of the bombing, a lot of stuff that's going through Congress very quickly, mm-hmm. a lot of big things that are going through Congress, and a lot of things that are important to Congress. For example, the Stock Act change. Now, the Stock Act change is something that they ran through at the very last minute. It's something that came up last year. There was a 60 Minutes report, and everybody started to realize that Congress was doing insider trading, and there were no rules against them, unlike everybody else. They had exempted themselves from criminal prosecution for insider trading, and their staff was exempted. So they quickly, as a way to save face, ran an act through that was called the Stock Act. It's actually an acronym like the Patriot Act. Mm-hmm. And they delayed its implementation three times over the last year. And then finally, last Friday, they ran it through. It went through all of 30 seconds in the House
right.
to get unanimous consent. And what that means is that you can't see how the people that were present voted. They just said it's unanimous consent. So it ran very quickly through the House and the Senate. And then it went Monday to Obama, and he signed it into law, and that was the Monday that the bombing took place. Mm-hmm. And what it does is, instead of making the disclosures of their trades publicly and digitally available, the new signed provisions actually require all information requests to be made in person at the D.C. basement office. So if you're a watchdog group, you're going to have to go there, and you're going to have to make a one-page-per-hour request in sight in Washington, D.C., at the cost of 10 cents a page.
Wow.
Then there literally were tens of thousands of staffers and mm-hmm. congressmen that were going to be covered under this. But they basically have now gutted the act that they made a very public display of passing this and saying, we're going to have accountability, we're going to stop insider trading, because congressmen are making a fortune out of this.
They really are, yeah.
Yeah, literally making their fortunes out of this, because nobody has insider information like congressmen mm-hmm. and their staffers do. So they're making a fortune out of this. When everybody found out about it, they made a big public display about how they're going to get rid of it. And then while nobody's looking, they pass this thing through in a very short period of time. The other thing that's coming in very quickly is an Internet Sales Tax Act. that's being rushed through. And this is something that's come up several times in the past. It has never gotten through before, but right now, with everybody distracted on the bombing, it looks like it's going to go through pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. As early as Monday, this is the Wall Street Journal reporting, as early as Monday, the Senate will vote on a bill that was introduced only last Tuesday and only became available on the Library of Congress website over the weekend. Now, they haven't, as of just yet, voted on it. But this is what it does. It's, according to the Wall Street Journal, they believe that it's going to discriminate against Internet-based businesses by imposing burdens on them that do not apply to brick-and-mortar companies. And for the first time, online merchants would be forced to collect sales tax for all Americans, estimated at 9,600 state and local taxing authorities that they'd have to comply with. And they give an example of New Hampshire that has no sales tax whatsoever, mm-hmm. but a merchant there, an online merchant there, would have to comply with all those 9,600 jurisdictions and different laws throughout the country and be liable for that.
How am I supposed to do that?
Yeah, and be liable for that if they don't do it correctly. So it looks like that's going to get rammed through pretty quickly. Obama's in favor of it. It's going to be more money for the government and tremendous imposition of, now, and they talk about it as being a fairness thing, okay? But the reality is that any bricks and mortar company has the opportunity to sell online as well. So mm-hmm. that's really where the level playing field is. But that's going to get rammed through pretty quickly. And then the final thing that's going through pretty quickly is CISPA. Now, this sailed through the House on Thursday. CISPA is an Internet Security Cyber Protection Act, and but it doesn't really protect against that. We've got a clip from Aaron Schwartz, and I don't know if we've got that or not, but it's in it. He's talking about how it is worse than SOPA and PIPA that he helped to defeat, and he calls it the Patriot Act for the Internet. And basically what it's going to do is it's going to give immunity to corporations so that they can turn over your information to the government. And they consider that to be an end around the Fourth Amendment. So whereas the government, according to the Fourth Amendment, would have to get a warrant to get that information, they can simply ask a third party, hey, have you got some information on Jhakari? Mm-hmm. And Facebook will say, sure, here it is. And that doesn't matter what the agreements that they had, the privacy agreements that they have made with you or the other customers.
And we saw Twitter do this with the Occupy Wall Street people.
That's right. They're released from all liability if they hand this stuff over. Mm-hmm. So it's being outspent 140-1. People in favor of it have spent over $605 million. So it's corporations that are interested in it, but it's also going to be a giant boondoggle for the military-industrial complex. It's going to sell a lot of cybersecurity software and consulting fees and that sort of thing. But as Aaron Schwartz also pointed out, the real security issues are not us having our own private information. The real security issues are that the government is creating these holes in the system, these cyber breaches, and they're actually paying people to create them, paying people to find them. And they're doing it all essentially for control, control of the web and control of our lives. And right. You've got some information, I think, on some updates.
Speaking of warrantless actions, we saw the situation in Boston where they apprehended the young man, no warrant. We don't need Miranda rights is the talking points you see on all the major networks. This guy doesn't need to know his rights. He doesn't need to know he can have a lawyer.
Lindsey Graham wants to give him the full Gitmo treatment.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham, the infamous, you don't get a lawyer, you're an enemy combatant, and that's what some people want. They want this guy to be charged as an enemy combatant, but we'll have more on that in just one second.
And let me interject here. This is a good example, actually, of why that's all wrong, because as we're going to be talking about, there's a lot of inconsistencies and questions about this, but they're trying this guy in the court of public opinion, and CNN and Fox and the mainstream media is just pounding on this guy as if he's already been tried and found guilty.
Right.
And if Lindsey Graham has his way, this guy is not ever going to get any due process and, you know, be executed quickly or whatever, taken to Gitmo, and nobody will ever hear from him again.
And that's exactly what they want. And we just saw the some of the footage on the screen. We'll go to this article. Shocking footage. Americans ordered out of homes at gunpoint by SWAT teams. And you guys can go ahead and roll that footage again. And David, I want to get your comment on what we're about to see here. Now, these are militarized police invading people's homes, going house to house. And you can see the gentleman right there. I guess that's his house. He's standing outside while the police order him and the rest of his household out. And you can see they are out in mass force to catch one 19-year-old. We didn't see a manhunt this big in Oklahoma City or many of the other false flags. And you can see right here now, this one may have some audio. They're going to tell this guy to come outside of his house and tell him to put his hands up. So let's take a listen. And you can see right there, David, that's where they told the guy to keep his hands up. And you can see this gentleman trying to film from his residence across the street. And no doubt if the police have not got to him yet, they will very soon. And that's what that's what happens.
The only way you'd know that was police is by the sign on their back. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely nothing about that. That doesn't look like just some kind of a nightmare martial law. You know, right. They call it total lockdown. It's martial law.
Mm-hmm.
And people are, there are some people that they've got that are clapping and applauding for that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing to me that people would clap and applaud for that. But there are other people who are taking pictures of that, think that that's really not normal,
mm-hmm.
okay, and putting it up on the internet, but they are very intimidated. I mean, they're not out there shouting at the police because they've got all the guns, but the people, the sheep who like this are out there applauding that.
Yeah, and I showed the clip last week on the Alex Jones radio show. I'm not sure if we have it tonight, but that's okay if we don't. It was of a police officer literally running down the street, putting his gun in people's faces, like, you know, like jumping in people's faces. And I'm like, what's with this guy? I mean, that to me was a terrorist.
Right.
You know, these guys clearly weren't the suspect. You got a camera guy who's, you know, probably 20 years older than the oldest suspect.
And
he's
running
around, you know, shining his gun in his face.
Absolutely. And we've had a lot of cases of police just pulling out guns and shooting people on the side in the subway or something. Mm-hmm. And once they get their blood up, you know, or accidentally doing a shooting. I mean,
right.
It's, you don't point a gun in somebody's face.
No.
Without
you're supposed
to
act as your firearm is loaded at all times.
And not point unless you're intending to shoot. Why would he intend to shoot those people? It's just over the top. But that's the kind of hysteria that we're seeing, and that's the kind of hysteria that they're building.
Yeah, look at that guy right there. Look at that guy aiming his gun right at the cameraman.
Man, man. It's amazing. All of that for one 19-year-old.
One 19-year-old. And we saw, you know, a similar situation with Chris Dorner out in California, and it's just one or two guys can send a city on lockdown, send the police and military into a frenzy. You know, what would happen, you know, God forbid, if, you know, multiple people were out there committing these kinds of crimes, but.
Or think about Chicago with all the drug shootings. I mean, 80% of the shootings that are there are about the drug war, right? And the gangs fighting each other. They don't have that kind of police protection there.
No.
I mean, it's a good thing that they don't. And they, you know, the interesting thing is they wouldn't be able to stop the gang shootings if they used that kind of police force.
That's a good point because it's my understanding that the police didn't even catch the gentleman in Boston.
Exactly.
The homeowner called and said, hey, I think there's somebody out in my boat.
Yeah. All of that door-to-door, all that dragging people out of their houses, and they weren't the ones who found him.
Yeah.
It was a citizen who turned him in. Yeah.
All right. Now, we'll move on to some other news. I don't want to spend all of our time on that. And we will get to that Alex Jones piece here in just a little bit. But we'll move on to our next article. Canadian government exploits Boston bombing to pass bill to limit civil liberties. Now, the Harper government is using the Boston Marathon bombing to expedite the passage of a relatively slow-moving bill that would restrict civil liberties in the name of fighting terrorism. The conservatives have cleared time in their legislative agenda Monday and Tuesday to conduct third reading debate on S-7, legislation that would authorize police to preemptively detain Canadians and hold them for up to 3 days without charging them. The bill would also allow authorities to imprison a Canadian for up to 12 months if they refuse to answer questions posed by a judge in what are called investigative hearings. So we see in Canada, they're willing to hold you for 12 months if you refuse to answer a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the Canadian law system is, if they have, you know, something similar to Miranda rights, but it scares me that not only is it happening there, but it's happening here because we see the situation with the guy in Boston.
Well, isn't it interesting that we see these same types of things happening in Canada that we see happening here? And I just heard a fellow who is on a libertarian radio station here in Austin from Australia talking about how the Australian police there were essentially, like our FBI, running these patsies in one terror scare after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And typically they were always organized and hatched by the police, just like they are the FBI here.
Mm-hmm.
And they run these patsies, and then they make a big deal out of the fact that they then took down this plot that they created and funded and supplied and trained and all this sort of thing. But it's interesting how you see all these different governments doing exactly the same thing at exactly the same time.
Right.
It wouldn't be a New World Order type thing, would it? I mean,
no, there's no such thing as a New World Order, even though we have those montages of clips of all these world leaders saying New World Order or something similar. Yeah. I believe Obama said something, the one world government we can all agree on.
Yeah.
You agreed to this, David, to your father, President Obama. So let's move on to this next article. Two linked to Al-Qaeda arrested in Canada terror plot. Canadian police and intelligence services arrested two suspects Monday who allegedly planned to derail a passenger rail train in Greater Toronto in what the Royal Canadian Mounted Police called a, quote, major terrorist attack, end quote. So, you know, terrorists under every nook and cranny we see in Canada. And, hey, these guys may have been, I don't want to use the term legit, but they may have been real terrorists out there to inflict misery. But, you know, we can see that they're going to use this to push their last agenda that we just talked about. Hey, we need this because there are guys out here who don't want to answer questions and so on and so forth.
And that's what we were concerned about from the very beginning a week ago. We said, first of all, we know the government is going to use this to advance an authoritarian police state agenda. And then when we heard that there were reports of bomb drills going on simultaneously, it's like, uh-oh, this looks like 7/7, looks like the Madrid bombings, it looks like 9/11, it looks like Oklahoma City. Yeah. All of these different ones, that you see the same method of operation each time. And we even see these terror plots that are hatched by the FBI, like the New York Times, for people that don't believe anything unless the mainstream media puts it out there. This came from the New York Times, talking about this Oregon college student and the Christmas tree bombing in Portland.
Right.
And they said that the FBI provided a van loaded with six 55-gallon drums of inert material, harmless blasting caps, a detonator cord, a gallon of diesel fuel to make it smell like it was flammable, and then an undercover FBI agent even did the driving with Mr. Muhammad in the passenger seat. And then to trigger it, they gave him a cell phone, but it didn't do anything. But as soon as he pushed the trigger, it's like, ah.
Yeah.
You're the terrorist.
Yeah.
They did all that stuff. Took this guy along.
Just push his button and now you're the terrorist.
Dial the number. Now he's the terrorist of the whole thing that they planned, executed, operated the whole bit.
Yeah.
You know? So
and that's the new deal. And speaking of that, I did a bulletin earlier today where I outlined a Paul Joseph Watson article where he talks about various terror plots and false flag information. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. I'm Jakari Jackson with an InfoWars News Bulletin. We have an article on InfoWars.com headline, Why Government Should Be the First Suspect in Any Terror Plot. Now, in this article, Paul Joseph Watson documents just a small example of government-sponsored terror. We'll begin with this one, Nero in the Great Fire of Rome. Legend claims Nero had one-third of the city torched as an excuse to build Domus Aurea, a 300-acre complex that included a statue of himself, the Colossus of Nero. The Roman historian Tacitus wrote that when the population of Rome held Nero responsible for the fire, he shifted blame on the Christians for, quote, hating the human race and starting the fire. And how about this one? Prelude to World War. SS operatives dressed in Polish uniforms attacked a German radio station, broadcast an anti-German message in Polish, and left behind the body of a German known for sympathizing with the Poles. The corpse was then offered to the press as evidence that the Poles had attacked the radio station. Now, this article contains many more false flags, but we'll end with two in the United States. Operation Northwoods. The U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff unanimously proposed state-sponsored acts of terrorism inside the United States. The plans included shooting down hijacked American airplanes, the sinking of U.S. ships, and the shooting of Americans on the streets of Washington, D.C. President Kennedy rejected the plan in March of 1962 and was then assassinated thereafter. And finally, the Gulf of Tonkin. On August 4th, 1964, President Lyndon Johnson went on national television and told the nation that North Vietnam had attacked U.S. ships. In fact, North Vietnam had not attacked the USS Maddox, as the Pentagon claimed, and the, quote, unequivocal proof of an unprovoked second attack on the U.S. warship was a ruse. Now, we do encourage you to go and read the article in its entirety, but be aware that any new false flag would not be the first one. I'm Jakari Jackson with an InfoWars News Bulletin. The special report I did earlier today, and we saw in that report, David, we saw the Gulf of Tonkin, we saw Operation Northwoods, and that was just a short sample of a larger article, and even the article itself was just a short sample of all the things that Watson could have linked to.
And those are things that are declassified. Those are actually government documents, and people can look those up on the internet. As far as the Gulf of Tonkin, I think It was a Fog of War was a documentary that came out just a couple of years ago. And McNamara, basically, he did it just before he died. And I look at it as really kind of his confession, you know, trying to clear his conscience. And Basically, he made it pretty clear that the Gulf of Tonkin was a false flag. And he even talked about, it wasn't so much Vietnam, but he was talking about things that they had done during World War II that they would have been found as war criminals if they had lost the war. Mm-hmm. But I think he was really thinking more of himself as a war criminal with the Vietnam War, and the way that he supported that from start to finish, and the way he got everybody in as a false flag. And they go into that in quite a bit of detail. And he just openly confessed it in the documentary. So it's out there.
It is out there. Now, Dave, we have a list of contradictions concerning the Boston bombing. And people, if you're a new listener or watcher of the InfoWars Nightly News, you're saying, why are these guys calling it a false flag? What is a false flag? You can go Google that term. Dan Badani made it famous here recently. But we're going to go through a few things, just a few of the Boston bombing and reasons why we think it may be considered a false flag. I'll go ahead and start, David, if I may. Now, we have on this list of contradictions, number one, no explanation for drills and bomb-sniffing dogs at the start and finish line. Now, Dan Badani's reported, and even people, eyewitnesses have backed it up. The coach of Mobile, I believe it was, said, hey, when we were out here running the race, we heard loudspeakers telling us, stay calm, there's nothing to worry about. And the guy's like, why am I being told to stay calm? Why is there nothing to worry about? And then, boom, the bombs go off.
Mm-hmm. And he's done a lot of races, and he said he's never seen anything like that. It was unprecedented to see that kind of activity. Yeah, also, if you look at the backpacks, you know, all we've got from the FBI to identify these two brothers is this one video where they're walking around the corner of a building. And one of them has the wrong color backpack, even, based on information that they'd put out earlier. Now, I don't know, but it was interesting that after we started questioning that, I guess about an hour and a half after that, if it was that long, CNN came out and offered an explanation for this contradiction that the police had put out there. Mm-hmm. Is that the role of the media now, is to explain away any contradictions that the FBI puts out there? But it was really, I thought, pretty absurd. They said, well, here's what we think happened. You know, he's got a light-colored backpack. And, of course, the dark-colored backpack was what the bomb was supposedly in. You saw these pictures of an exploded black backpack. And they said he's got a light-colored backpack, and he put the dark-colored backpack inside of that and the bomb inside of that. It's what I call the Modrzewski theory of backpack bombing. You know, the Modrzewski is the Russian dolls that they have that are wooden, and there's one inside the other. I guess since they were from Russia, they figured they would pack their bombs that way. I don't know.
It was so ridiculous to me that if the FBI thought this was what actually happened, that they're pulling, you know, bags out of bags like rabbits out of hats, why didn't they say that?
Why didn't they say that? And why didn't CNN, instead of coming up with an explanation for this contradiction, why didn't they ask that question of the FBI, like a reporter would, like Dan Badani would, you know? We ask questions and they shut down the press conference because they expect the press to basically be their lapdogs. And you heard at that press conference how this one guy says, well, isn't it unhelpful when people bring up other things or something? Oh, yes, thank you so much. He was just thanking this reporter for saying something that he was going to say. Well, it really doesn't help if you look at other pictures that we haven't put out there that are official.
Yeah, and speaking of other pictures, if we can put that last picture back up, guys, I want to draw people's attention to this image. Now, what you see right there, we can freeze frame it if we need to. You can see a gentleman right there. He's fiddling with his ear. Now, there's speculation, is this guy wearing, you know, earbuds? Is this guy wearing a earpiece like a Fed? And you can obviously see the Fed alert right there. But who is this guy? And another question is, if we can continue to let it play, you can see some people's faces are blurred out and other people's are not. Now, these aren't blurs that we have done. This is from the official FBI footage. And you can see in this angle, his face is blurred. But if we can run it back just a little bit, you'll see that his face was not blurred. So, of all people, you know, you can see some people's faces clear right there, but on this one, you can see it, and on this angle, you can't. So who is this guy? Does he have anything to do with it?
Yeah. 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 And you would think he might come forward and say, yeah, I'm not part of that. Or you might think that those two guys that Alex is pointing out that had a cap that looked like a SEAL cap, you might think they might say something. Actually, we tried to contract the Kraft International, and we went to their website. People were asking them questions on the website. They said, well, that's not the proper form. You need to send a message to the Facebook administrator of this page. So we did, and they didn't respond to us. And we also sent a email to them, and they didn't respond to those emails. We sent a couple of us sent emails to them, so they're not talking about whether they were they're doing training. Mm-hmm. That's what the craft does. I mean, their presence there would indicate that be another indicator that there was a drill of some sort going on.
All right, David, I'll move on now. What about the Saudi national? You remember we heard the reports of the Saudi national who had been detained because they saw him running from the bomb blast, I'm sure as everybody did. But even more than that, he was detained. And then when Janet Napolitano was questioned about that, she assured Congressman, I believe it was Duncan, Jeff Duncan, if I remember correctly, that if he does have something to do with it, she will take the time out of her busy schedule to allow the congressman to hear her explanation of the situation.
That's right. Kind of slapped him down and said, like, who are you? Mm. You know, same thing that we later heard from the FBI, that don't look at any other pictures.
Right.
And she's saying, you know, I'm not even going to address that. There's just too many things there. I'm not even going to address it. So she's completely stonewalled him on that. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. It's also interesting how the narrative changed. There was so much buzz about it being a right-wing conspirator. Mm-hmm. And that all changed very quickly when Alex went public with the pictures that showed a pretty disheveled guy holding one of the black backpacks, mm-hmm. and a couple of these guys kind of watching him, you know, and said, I think they're setting that guy up for a patsy, and they immediately went in and said, we're going to have a press conference, we're going to announce an arrest, and then they started delaying it, and, you know, so it's interesting to watch how this thing unfolded and how they responded to anybody questioning their official version.
Right, and one of the things that was reported in the media, well, in the mass media, I should say, and then not brought up again, the naked man. Mm-hmm. Who is this naked man who, I do believe we have a video of that, guys, of this gentleman who is being escorted into a police cruiser, butt naked. How he got naked, some people are speculating that he was told to strip by the police. I guess he voluntarily removed his clothing at gunpoint, was escorted into a police cruiser. And as far as we know, has not been heard of again because they're saying it's not the older brother. Many people speculate that he does appear to be the older brother. We don't know that for sure or not. Mm-hmm. But who is the naked man?
Nobody has come forth to claim that they were falsely arrested, which I find is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Because when a lot of these pictures were being put out there, there were so many people that were taking pictures because this was, of course, the finish line of the Boston Marathon. So there were a lot of people there with pictures, and a lot of pictures were coming out. And a couple of these pictures that started floating out, the next day, a couple of guys came out and said, that's not us. You know, we're not the bombers. Those are pictures of us, and we were there, but we didn't do the bombing. But nobody has come forward and said, I'm the guy that they arrested in handcuffs. Because it seems to me like he would have some legal recourse against them.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
That's a slam dunk lawsuit right there.
And he would also be concerned about clearing his name, you know, because they may still come back on him or something. But anyway, nobody has come forward. That's an amazing one. And it's also, I don't know, there's just so many different things that we see here, especially the way they continually shut down their press conferences, you know, if you ask any hard questions here.
Right. Any hard questions. Now, speaking out, somebody has spoke out, and that is the aunt of these two suspects. Mm-hmm. She says, hey, that is my nephew that you guys were parading around in all of his glory, you know, for their amusement or whatever the reason they thought they had to strip this guy down. They were speculating that he may have some type of bomb strapped to his chest or whatnot. But the aunt has spoken out, and actually we had a chance to speak to the aunt, and I do believe we have that video ready. Alex Jones, David Knight, interview with the aunt of the suspects.
So then are you suspicious that maybe they really did do this?
No, I'm suspicious that this was staged. The picture was staged.
By who?
Whoever needs this.
But why would
whoever is looking for those who need to be blamed for these attacks.
So you think they're being set up by someone else, not the authorities. You think they're being set up by someone else?
What do you mean, somebody else?
Well, who is setting
up? Who is interested in this case?
InfoWars correspondent Dan Dix in Canada was able to make contact with the aunt of the two bombing suspects from the Boston Marathon. And when he spoke with Marette Zarnev, she said that she trusted Infowars.com and was aware of my show from listening to it in the past, and so that she would be very excited to be able to speak with me on air to tell her story unedited and untwisted. I then talked to her two separate times in the afternoon, and she basically said, I am just a little fly that they could crush. And I had seen her in the Huffington Post saying that she had been threatened, and she basically began to cry and say that I just want to have my life basically, in fact, I wrote some notes right here, people will just laugh. I know in my gut that, you know, this is a lie, that they were basically set up by the security services, the same thing that the father has been saying, the same thing that the mother has been saying. It was really, really painful. And we're going to get to some more of what she told me over the phone in a moment and actually air some of the audio. She's obviously a woman in grief. She said that she believes that there's a cover-up, that they were set up, but that she has basically run her race, that she's not going to fight this anymore. And I said, is it because of the threats? And she said, no, I have not been threatened. And if they're listening right now, I'm not going to do anymore. So this is like something out of a movie. And, of course, earlier in the day, she had said that she was being threatened, and that was quoted by newspapers around the world. So it is my humble opinion that she has been threatened. Now, when I pressed her on this point, she said, well, the police have told her not to talk to the media. And I said, who, the FBI? She said, no, the Canadian police. She said, I have reached out to the FBI to try to tell them what I know, and, you know, basically any interested parties. And she said, no one wants to know the truth. The media will just spin anything that I say. She said basically that both the boys are dead. She said, and I said, well, what about the younger one? And he's not dead yet. And she said, well, basically, he's not going to be free anymore, and God knows what they're going to do to him. And she's just so sad worrying about the whole situation and knowing what she knows from the mother, who, by the way, the mother was the first person to say 5 years ago the FBI was casing him and talking to him and things. And then it did come out that 2.5 years ago, the Russian government contacted the U.S. and said, the older brother, he's getting into the country with an alias and then coming back. Does he work for you? Because the West has been funding radicals in Chechnya, in Dagestan, and other areas. So these guys clearly had the connections to the intelligence agencies. The mother, who has been speaking out, I don't know how long, with the threats going on, she has said that the FBI called her boys the day after the bombing and before they came and raided them. This is really disgusting stuff that we're seeing happen, because over and over again, we've seen patsies set up in the same way. We know that there was a drill. We know they're now having other patsies that they're busting up in Canada as well. And this woman is clearly exhausted and also scared, though she made a point of saying that she's not been threatened now and that they could, quote, crush her like a bug. And she said, and if they're listening now, I am done. I'm not going to do anything else. And obviously, she's also very exhausted. She says she's had hundreds of phone calls, and she just said that she was counting on InfoWars and others that have the stomach to fight to continue on. And the last thing she said is that my fight is done. And she said, and the people listening, my fight is done. And I said, do you mean us on the phone together right now? And she said, they will crush me like a fly. So obviously, it is my opinion that she's been threatened, and she said, no, I have not been threatened. I have not been threatened. But even though she's been quoted as saying they've been threatened. So they've definitely gotten to the woman, and I could hear small children in the background. So let's pray for the whole family. Now, when Dan Dix called us, it was about 2 o'clock Central. So my reporters, Shikari Jackson and David Knight, went ahead and called her and taped a pre-interview. So we do have what she had to say on record from this, and we're also going to air it. So it's documented that we did indeed talk to her. But dramatic and well, powerful information in the two phone conversations I had with her. So here is the interview that we do have, and she may have a change of heart in the days to come and may actually come on the show where she can lay out the facts. We also hope to speak to the boy's mother, who's proven to be a treasure trove of truth with what she said about the FBI, and that was later confirmed. And again, the whole family is being told not to talk to the media. So here is the interview that the FBI does not want you to see.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Merit Zarnaev?
Yes, speaking.
Hi, my name is David Knight. I'm with Infowars.com. It's Alex Jones's operation. Have you heard of us?
Yes, I've heard of you. Yes.
And we would very much like to do an interview with you. Would that be possible?
Since I have seen the material that you presented for the public before about these bombings, even before the names of our boys were put out there, I was following you, you know, from the very beginning.
Okay.
I don't know. I have trust in that information. I have trust in you. And I would like to have my word said.
Good, good.
Especially in the part when the guy that was taken into custody by police, then given over to FBI. You know who I'm talking about. That clip.
Yes, yes.
A naked guy.
Yes.
I have to publicly state that I confirm and identify this person as my nephew, Tamerlan Tsarnaev.
Good, good. We would like for you to do that. Would it be possible, do you have Skype or anything like that we could do an interview?
I do have Skype.
Good. When would be convenient for you to talk to us?
How can I say when it can be convenient? I'm getting these calls one after another. I don't even have time to feed my boy.
I understand.
And I don't have even time to eat and sleep.
I understand. Is there a time?
Somehow, yes, we have to craft time. But the important thing is first. Since I said I trust, my gut tells me I have to, and I can trust you, your radio. I would like to do that.
Well, we're interested in the truth, and we want to hear your side unedited, and we'll certainly give you a chance to talk to everybody and explain, you know, your perspective.
Again, David, my perspective, you put it that way, but again, the priority is to openly state the person on that video. I don't want to be repetitive. I have to say publicly that I identify this guy as my nephew because this says a lot.
Yes.
This says a lot.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It says quite a bit. And we want to talk to you about your younger nephew, too, Zokar. It also looks suspicious how he was taken as well. It looks like he was being let out of the boat, and then next thing we hear, he's in very serious condition, nearly dead.
They have got him the same way. They had them long ago, before their names were made public. They had them long ago, and the rest of it was concocted. That was the first thing that I thought would happen with them. I told that openly. They had them long before. Whoever these people are, whoever is behind this, they are framing our, they not framing, they framed our boys.
Yes, these men and their hypnotized followers call this a new order. It is not new. And it is not honor.
So, David, that was a powerful interview just for how short it was. You know, she publicly identified the man and the naked man, I believe, as being her nephew.
She was very adamant about that.
Yes.
She was very adamant that wasn't just her opinion. She knew that was her nephew. And, you know, if you know somebody, even though that video is not real sharp, it was shot at night, it's at a distance, it's compressed, there's some artifacts in it. So we could look at that and we could say, well, that guy certainly bears a strong resemblance to him. But If you know somebody, you know the way they move, you know their mannerisms, and you've known them for a while, I think you have to put a lot of credibility on the fact that the aunt identified him positively as being the person that they captured. And I think it's also telling that the government is encouraging the uncle and the sister, who are basically very critical and you know, saying yes, yes, you know, and you know, basically right. following the government's storyline. They're putting them on all the time, but you don't hear much from the mother and the father who are defending them and saying they were set up, they were patsies, and you don't, and they're telling the aunt not to talk.
Right, and you have to think that, you know, if you were told, you know, you got all these big mainstream media and various law enforcement agencies telling you that, hey, your nephew did this. Your nephew, we don't need a warrant or anything, but we're telling you right now that he did. Like, I mean, who wants to jump up and defend somebody who they have been, you know, manipulated into believing this?
And the other thing is that if you look at it, the uncle and the sister are living in the United States. Mm-hmm. The aunt is in Canada, and right. she's getting pressure because there's that relationship there. But the mother and father are in Russia. Mm-hmm. And they're not getting any pressure from anybody to say one thing or the other. I mean, they're, you know, they're also distant from the situation, but you know, they're going to defend him, and they both made it clear, as well as the aunt, that there were contacts going on before, well before any of this actually
happened.
Yeah,
that's
happened.
very important.
Yeah, and as Alex said, you know, they called before and after the bombing, called to inquire about these guys. So, I don't know. It just, when I look at this, the younger, brother, especially, mm-hmm. I just don't see the, even if Tamerlane, the older brother, was, involved in some way with the FBI, let's say they were setting him up as a patsy or told him that he was going to be, doing something, or if perhaps he was a Muslim who had hatred and really wanted to do a bombing. But I still believe that he's being manipulated by the FBI for their purposes. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, looking personally, I just don't think that the younger brother had anything to do with it. The backpack thing, but just his mannerism, the fact that he was tweeting while he was on the run, mm-hmm. that he went to a party Thursday night before right. All of this stuff broke. And then they see their identities on the news, and it's like, you know, they're in a foreign country and everything. I mean, they're going to run. I mean, a lot of Americans might run rather than trying to...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure plenty of people would.
If they've been positively identified without any evidence, the FBI said, these are our guys, they're assuming that they're going to be shot on sight, which...
And which was, you know, we can see the images right there. You can see the boat on your screen. Yeah. The police did not want to take this guy alive.
This is like the boat looks like the Model T that Bonnie and Clyde were in, you know, when they got ambushed by the police.
It's like a Looney Tunes cartoon. They just shot the whole side of the boat. They did not want this gentleman to be taken alive. Whether he is innocent or guilty, they didn't want to take him alive.
And that's the common thing. You know, we don't have anybody taken alive because we don't want to have discovery in a trial. Mm-hmm. We don't want to actually have an investigation. It's nice if they're dead, then the government can just proceed with its official story. Everything is neatly tied up. There's no long trial. There's no discovery. Nothing. So.
All right, David Knight. We'll definitely keep an eye on this, and hopefully we can get in touch with the aunt. She'll reach out to us. But if not, we definitely appreciate the time that she gave us and the information as well. So, David Knight, I guess we're about to the end of our broadcast. So I definitely want to thank everybody who's been watching the InfoWars Nightly News. If you're a first-time viewer or just somebody who hasn't done it yet, we definitely encourage you to go to PrisonPlanet.tv. Consider becoming a member. You can get a 15-day free trial. It funds our operation. This is what allows us to do things like contact the aunt and other things and the other guests people love and are so accustomed to, the quality that people are accustomed to and the quality that's growing here. We have many surprises on the way. We have a few things I'm sure Alex wants to keep under wraps right now. But new things, new exciting things happening at the InfoWar. New members every day, and we definitely appreciate your support. So for David Knight, Jakari Jackson, the rest of the crew out there doing a great job, this has been the InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Comfort zone, because these people aren't playing games. We're going to organize. Humanity's going to come together. We are swinging muskets here, toe-to-toe with the globalists. They're bloodied. We're bloodied. It is absolute.